It's The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds. Seattle writer Michael Gruber published his first novel under his own name 10 years ago when in his 60s. Since then, he's published four more thrillers and one children's book. Stephen King said Gruber's last book, The Good Son, was the best book he read in 2012. Publishers Weekly chose Michael Gruber's new novel, The Return, as one of its top 10 mystery thrillers of 2013. In the first scene, protagonist New York book editor Richard Martyr is diagnosed with a terminal illness. He shuts down his life to do something on his bucket list, return to Mexico and punish some people. Michael Gruber joins us. Thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You had a really interesting life. You have a PhD in marine scientists with a focus on octopus. You worked as a roadie with rock groups. But the one thing I have to hear more about is that you were a chef at the Hog Farm Commune, that group that famously fed people at Woodstock. I understand your most famous dish was roadkill dumplings.
Yes, it was. Roadkill dumplings were very successful. I also did a roadkill Eggs Benedict. On the shores of the Rio Grande for, I guess, there must have been 30 people there. It was quite an achievement, I think, given that I was working on a one-burner bus stove. Now, this was I was working in a restaurant in Miami, and the Hog Farm came in to earn some money on their tour, and I just ran away with the gypsies. They just seemed like interesting people, and I just joined the bus.
They were very interesting people.
They were interesting people. They had two buses at the time. One was the fascist bus, and the other was the slob bus. And I was elected the most fascist person on the slob bus.
Really? Why is that?
Well, because, if you're the cook, you have to keep your kitchen in good shape.
Got to be in order.
All is in order. So, but I got along pretty well. I stayed with him for about a month, mm-hmm. and I had to do some other things.
You wrote speeches for former Environmental Protection Agency head William Ruckelshaus, and you were a ghostwriter for your cousin. You ghosted 15 books for your cousin?
That's correct.
There were the Richard Tannenbaum legal thrillers. Robert Tannenbaum legal thrillers. Any regrets that you didn't get your own name on a book before when you did?
Well, people have neurotic intervals in their lives, and this was one of mine. I mean, there are no regrets because if I hadn't gone in with Bob, I probably would not be a novelist today.
Why is that?
I say it was a neurotic interval. I just had some real problems confronting the being out there in the cover. It took a while for me to get my confidence up.
At what point did you decide, I've got my confidence up, I'm not going to ghost for my cousin anymore, I'm going to write a book with my name on it?
Well, I always wanted to do that, yeah. But I thought I could do it within the structure of the novels that I was writing for him. I thought we would sort of have a segue, just like Clive Cussler has, mm-hmm. and many others. First, it's Robert Tannenbaum and Michael Gruber, and then I have a name, and so. But that didn't work out.
Oh.
He wasn't amenable to that.
So it didn't end well with your cousin.
It ended very badly. Yeah.
Yeah. So your first book came out, and it really really set you on your way. Your protagonist in the new book is this book publisher, Richard Martyr, who turns out to be pretty badass for a book editor.
Well, he's a little bit like me in the sense he has a speckled past. He has he's a kind of a liberal New York guy. He's a book editor, and but he's also an expert pistol shot. And he did some very interesting service during the Vietnam War. He was in a peculiar part of the war that I was interested in talking about, and so I put that in.
And the book pings back and forth between his latter-day adventures and this trip to Mexico to enact some revenge and also his experiences in Vietnam. He's got this Army buddy friend from Vietnam, Patrick Skelly, who aids and abets in the violence. And they have a really interesting relationship, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Skelly just sort of came out of thin air. It wasn't supposed to be a buddy movie at all. It was supposed to be something very dry and sear about a man who knows he's dying going down to Mexico. And there'd be a girl. See, it had to be a girl. And
then
the girl would have an association with the narcos, and then the man would have to defend the girl from the narcos, and then he would die, and then the girl would inherit his money. And that was the bones of the story. But as soon as I started writing it, these other things started to pop in, and it just kind of wrote it's a cliche, but it kind of wrote itself.
Did you spend time in Vietnam?
No, I know.
Okay, but it's a really interesting subplot as we keep going back to this time.
I'm a Vietnam era veteran.
Yeah.
Not a,
yeah. They're planting these listening devices on the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
Yeah, that was an actual program for wiring the Ho Chi Minh Trail and feeding it back to provide tactical information. That was an actual project, and I just sort of expanded it. And it's also the story of how the some units of the Special Forces tried to defend the Hmong people from the depredations by the communists. The communists would raid their villages and turn them all into slave porters. And our Special Forces were able to form a defense force that was very effective. And, of course, then we pulled out and they were exterminated.
Michael Gruber is my guest, the Seattle novelist's most recent book is called The Return. We're talking about the protagonist, Richard Martyr. He's estranged from his son, but pretty close to his daughter. She ends up following him to Mexico on this revenge mission, not knowing why he's going there. What did you base that father-daughter relationship on?
Well, I have a daughter, and I had done the mother's son in The Good Son, and so I wanted to do father-daughter, too. It's somewhat different. And it just sort of built itself, too. That wasn't an original part of my plan for the book, but there was a daughter there, and I just made it happen. She wanted to come to check up on her father. It's an interesting relationship. At a certain point, daughters start taking care of their fathers, or want to start taking care of their fathers. It's a very natural kind of thing. And she is in that phase, thinks her father's a little flaky. The mother has died under horrific circumstances, and she finds out where he is through her hacking skills and joins him.
I found The Return very cinematic, and I understand there has been some film interest in your books.
Yeah, it's a cinematic book, but all of my books have had some film interest, but no film money.
No one biting yet?
There've been a couple of options, but nobody has really bought. It's the books are problematical because they're not simple books, and I think it takes a lot of imagination to penetrate into them to tease out the cinematic elements.
You blog at michaelgruberbooks.com, and you wrote recently about inhabiting the worldview of a character who is racist.
Uh-huh.
And there's a line in that essay that caught me up short. It said, you're right, there are joys in racism.
Oh, there are. Well, that's why so many people are racists. I mean, clearly they wouldn't be racists if there weren't tremendous benefits for being a racist.
And as you imagine the racist character, how did you imagine those joys?
Well, the joys are of absolute freedom from status and anxiety beyond a certain point. In other words, no matter how low you are, if you are in the superior class, no matter how low you are, how abused, how tormented by your life situation, you can always say to yourself, well, at least I'm not a fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
And that ability to say, at least I'm not a, is tremendously valuable to the psychology of people who are otherwise battered. And so that's why they cling to it. And why not, if they can? And the other thing is some people like to hurt other people just to get off their frustrations. Usually it's women.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very convenient to have somebody marked
right
as being susceptible to that and with impunity.
Is it hard to occupy a character who you in real life would find reprehensible?
I don't know. Hard. It's part of the art.
Right.
One of the things that you do in fiction is to show the other. And one of the problems with being on the right side of things, we are of course not racists at all. There's no even tiny little speck of racism in any of our souls. Yeah. So,
let's not go there.
So what I'm saying, yeah, you know. So by showing the other, by showing the full flower of it, it helps us cope with the shadow in ourselves.
Yeah.
That's part of the function of fiction as well.
It must have been a big thrill to have Stephen King call your last book the best book he'd ever read. Have you had a chance to meet him?
Well, no, I haven't actually. I brushed Stephen King's shoulder once. It was in the Café des Artistes in New York. He was ordering a drink, and I was delighted to see that he could not get the attention of the bartender, even though he was Stephen King.
This was before he called your book the best.
Oh, yes. It's way before. Oh,
okay.
Way before.
Because next time you bump into him, you're going to tap on his shoulder.
And then I'll tap on his shoulder.
You know who I am?
Yeah, you know who I am? Yeah. Well, he understands what popular fiction is.
And he wrote a great book on writing, too.
He did indeed.
Yeah. Hey, Michael Gruber, thank you so much for stopping by, and best of luck with the new novel and those that I know are to come.
Thank you for having me, Russ.
It's called The Return. You're listening to The Record.